Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
King and his horses and his people and his soldiers, he outran them all. He ran to town in the power of God. And I wonder how many of you today, I wonder how many of you right now, right this moment, can hear the thundercloud of the Lord. How many of you last night, honestly, listened? How many of you said, God, are you calling me? Not me, me, anybody else, Lord, but not me. Are you calling me, God? I mean, Lord, I got this brand new car. I got the kids to get to college. I'm going to retire here in just 7 months, Lord, and pay her off the house. Must be somebody else. You couldn't be calling me. That's an impossibility, right? Wrong, baby. It's your name he's calling. There'll be another time real soon, and you'll pray to God he calls your name that day. But he ain't going to call your name that day if you don't hear him calling your name this day. For the fields are white unto harvest, but the workers are few. Don't tell me you're praying for him. Forget about praying for him. Go home and pack up and get out there and be one of them. I got requests on my desk that thick to places I can't go. Don't tell me you haven't got any place to go. I'll send you the request. If you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could pack up a few clothes and be on your way and do something for Jesus. And you might be able to do it quickly before night comes when no man can work. Because now is the hour. Now is the hour to fight hand-to-hand combat unto the death if we have to. Because this is the type of faith that we need. I can remember 30-some years ago. I remember it well. I remember a prayer meeting that I was in one night. And I remember several people out of that group that God spoke to, and he said, I'm calling you to go forth. I'm calling you to go forth and minister my son, Jesus Christ. And as far as I know, now I could be wrong, but as far as I know tonight, there is myself and one other man. I know of one other man out of that entire group that heard the word of the Lord and went out. That heard the word of God, quit the jobs, the secular jobs that we had, cast our cares upon the Lord, said, God, you're called. We're answering. The responsibility is yours. Lord, speak to somebody somewhere to support us and take care of us, because we're going to go wherever you say. And right after that, I believe we went to England. We had like 7 or 8 crusades right in a row. I came back at 14 crusades in Mexico, back to back, one right after another. You say, why didn't you just stay there? Because I kept getting so sick, I had to come back. I would get so sick, they would have to take me back in, bring me to the emergency ward, and I'd wake up down there, and I'd look around, and there'd be the doctor and my whole family. Now, you don't have to have a medical degree to figure this one out. When your whole family's in the room, you know what they told them. And I'd always look up at my wife, and I'd always say, let me guess, they told you I was going to die again. And she said, oh, yeah, yeah, they told us this time you couldn't possibly make it. And by that time, the Lord had normally spoken to me, and I'd tell her I'll be up in 4 or 5 days, whatever it was God said. And sure enough, in those amount of days, I was up, and it'd take a couple of weeks to heal up at home, and we'd just pack up again and go right back to Mexico. And we must have had like 14 trips back and forth to Mexico. And then we started going into the Caribbean. But we didn't go to the fine cities where everybody else goes, where all of the fancy places are, and the great restaurants and the ocean fronts. We didn't go to any of those places. No, God sent us to the places that nobody else in this world would even think about going to. I remember when he sent us to Trinidad, I thought, well, thank God. I didn't even know where it was at first. I had to look on a globe, and I said, well, that's nice. It isn't too big, surrounded by water. How bad can it be? I should have never said that. Because when I got there, they took me to a town by the name of Aruba, where we were going to be ministering at. Now, Aruba is the place where Christopher Columbus first discovered. He should have left it there. But he discovered this place, and it has the most wonderful God-fearing people in it I have ever met in my life. The sweetest people I have ever met, with the sweetest spirits I have ever met. But the land itself, the area itself, is just unbelievable. They had this tent set up out in the middle of the jungle, and they have one electric cord running out, and only God knows how far that cord ran. I don't know. I never did see the end of it. And on my end of it, where I was standing up there, they had like a 50 or a 60 watt light bulb. And it ran so far, it had all it could do to get power to this 50 or 60 watt light bulb. Needless to say, there was no microphone. You had to scream. You had to scream really loud for everybody to hear you. Fortunately, God gave me a good loud voice, and everybody could hear me. And we held meetings down there. I think we were there for about 2.5 months. And they got snakes down there about half the size of this box right here. I mean, we're talking like this big around, constrictor type snakes. I don't know what their names are, but I am, as I've said before, I am just scared of snakes. I don't want to be nowhere around snakes. They scare me. I don't like snakes, and I don't like spiders. And every night that we were there, all I had was that little 50-watt bulb over my head. And for a stage, what they had done is got a bunch of pallets, and they set those pallets up all over. And every night I would walk around, and I would hold my Bible, and I would look down through the slats in them pallets to make sure that there were none of them snakes down there that were going to come up and get me any minute. I was that afraid of them. Sometimes I was so afraid of those snakes, I could not concentrate on what God was saying to me. And one night, about the third or fourth night, I had been watching down there and looking for them snakes, and I walked behind the pulpit, and the Lord spoke to me. I love it when God speaks to me. And God said, the next time you look down there for a snake, I'll have one come up behind you and wrap right around your leg. Now, you want to pay attention to me or look for snakes? From that night on, I never looked for another snake. I put my trust back in God. And we had a lot of miracles down there. There were so many beautiful things that took place, but one of the things that happened is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Rastafarians. They've got the real long hair, and it's all in the real tight curls, you know, come way down to their shoulders or below. And basically, if they even so much as think about becoming a Christian, about accepting Christianity, to them, that is a death sentence. They're dead. That's a no-no. You don't go from being a Rastafarian to being a Christian. That just doesn't happen. Anyway, as I was standing up there preaching, and at the end of the place where they had the chairs there, then they had a little dirt street, and on the other side of that was this little clapboard wooden house, and on the front porch there was a bunch of the Rastafarians sitting out there. And I began to notice that every night they would get there earlier, and every night they would stay later. And this went on through all the time that we were there. The last night of the crusade, the very last night of the crusade, I was just finishing up and I was giving the altar call, and I said, I'm not going to beg anybody, but I am going to give you a chance. Those who want to go and be with Jesus and spend eternity in heaven, you can come right now. For the Word of God says, you confess me before men and I will confess you before my Father. If you want to come right now and you want to ask Jesus Christ into your life, I will pray with you. And Jesus will confess you before the Father, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will move into your life. Well, I went back and I put my head down and I began to pray. And nobody could have been more surprised than I was, but I heard this commotion, I heard this noise. And I picked up my head to look and to see what was happening. And as I looked, those Rastafarians had left their front porch and they were walking across the street and they were coming up towards the altar. And I thought to myself, Lord, this is decision time. They're either going to come up here and try and kill me, or in fact, you've done a miracle and you have penetrated, to my knowledge, the first Rastafarians I've ever seen getting saved. Because I had never heard of it and I had never seen it before. And I just stood there and waited. And sure enough, every single one of them walked up. And when they got there, they kind of stopped and they made a little path and they waited for the biggest one. And I thought, well, this doesn't look all that good. But the biggest one came up the middle. And he reached out my hand, and I reached out my hand to shake his, and he reached out the other one. And I mean, his hands were so big, they just buried mine. They disappeared in his hands. I'll never forget his words. I'll never forget them. The man was holding my hands, and there was tears coming out of his eyes. He was just crying. And he said, we heard you, man. We heard you, man. We heard you, man. And he turned around and walked away, and the tears were just rolling out of his eyes. And I thought to myself, you didn't hear from man. You heard from God. But you'd never understand that tonight, so there's no sense in going into it with you. But I knew they had not heard from me. but I knew that God had spoken to him every night that I had been there. I knew that when they left that place that night, they had literally, without a doubt, they had literally put a death watch on their own life. I don't know how long they would live after that. I don't know how long their tribe or their family would put up with it after that. But I had the feeling that the very first time they witnessed, because God had had me speak almost an entire week on witnessing, and I thought to myself, the first time they witness, the first time they tell somebody that Jesus Christ is Lord, I think they'll be dead. I think they'll be home with the Lord very soon. And you know, it almost made me jealous to know that they were going to go home and be with God that soon. And that was many years ago now. And I have no doubt that either all of the Rastafarians in that area are saved, Holy Spirit filled, or these brothers are with Jesus. One or the other happened. I have no doubt. These were some of the sweetest people I ever met in my life. You know, as I've shared before, we don't take offerings. We don't ask for money or any of that. Never have, and never will. But at night, nobody asked, but every night these people would bring something. And they would bring huge, huge hunks of fish. That was just a hunk of it. That was just a cut off part of it. I don't know how big it was originally. And they would bring coconuts, maybe 8-10 of them to a vine. And they would bring a thing they called snap-ups. They were like big grapes, only they were real sweet. And they would bring these huge, bright green oranges and grapefruit. And it was like a green apple, a pomegranate it was called. And another big green thing they called breadfruit. And it was fabulous. I mean, it was absolutely delicious. And they would bring that as an offering for the preacher almost every night. And the last night we preached there, the very last night, of course, with the wife and the children with me, we had a small truck, but we were still, with the wife and the kids with me, we had to take and tie, we had to tie down the fish and the grapefruit and all the other stuff. We had to tie it to the fenders. We had to tie it to the top of the car. We had to tie it to the front of the car. We had that much food that they had brought us, and bananas, huge stacks of bananas. I mean, and more bananas there than we could eat in 3 months. And these people, I don't know, it may have been all they had to eat for all I know. But there was no selfishness in their heart at all. They had a holiness and they had a reverence for God, and they had a holiness and a reverence for the men of God. And it was so wonderful. You ever get a chance to go, go, because it's one of the most beautiful places you'll ever be. Truly is. They don't have running water. on each street corner, they got a, well, not on every street corner, but like every other street corner, they'll have a spigot coming up, and you can turn it on, and everybody brings their buckets down there, and you fill up your buckets with water, and then cart it home. That's how you get your water. And all the outhouses, of course, are outside. Maruga is the name of the place. And I don't know what side of the island it's on, but if you ever go to Trinidad, go down there, because it's a beautiful place. The people are unbelievably beautiful. You'll really love it. It's a beautiful place. Anyway, it's been a absolutely fantastic week for me. It's been fabulous to be with you all week. Before we leave tonight, I want to pray. Everything we have done this week, everything we have said this week, everything we have ministered this week has been for one purpose only. And I want to share that with you because it's very important what God has told me. And the Lord has said, first, their foundation has to be correct. The only foundation upon which it can be built is the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. We all know that. That's the Word of God. And then the doctrine, even the baby doctrine, you have to start all over. You have to start all over with salvation and work your way up. Because all of that has got to be correct. And then you got to see how many are willing to be obedient. Because unto those who are willing to be obedient. Now that's the part I want you to hear. Unto those who are willing to be obedient. Unto those who are willing to hear me. Unto those who are willing to go into their prayer closet and pray and listen and hear me. Unto those will I give revelation, and unto those will I speak, and unto those next week will go faster and faster for them. Because they will be hearing from the Spirit of the living God. For the Spirit of the Lord will be upon them. God will be talking to them. I pray you have heard some from the Spirit of God this week. I pray you hear most from the Spirit of God next week. And after that, I pray you hear all from the Spirit of God. Would you bow your heads, please? Whether you're at home, you're driving your car, keep your head up, keep your eyes open. I don't want nobody getting hurt. Some cop, some fool on TV told me to close my eyes. But you that are home, if you would just close your eyes and you just pray with me. Holy Father, we come before you right now. We come before you, Lord, as a body. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, we know that there is no distance in the Spirit. We may be separated by a long ways in mileage, but in the Spirit, there's no distance at all. So, Father, right now we come together in the Spirit. We reach out, Father, and we take one another by the hand. And we stand before you. In boldness, Lord, the way you told us to. Father God, we enter your gates with thanksgiving. We bless you and praise you for what you've done this week. For God, you have done a miracle this week. These people don't know it, but God, there's no way we could have gotten on television. That was an impossibility. Couldn't have happened. But you did it. Because nothing is impossible with our God. You are a miracle working God. And Father God, right now I pray for those who want, you know their hearts, God, you see their hearts. They want to hear you, God. There are those out there that really, truly want to hear you. They'll give up their jobs. They'll give up their cars. They'll give up their retirement. They'll give it all up. They want to hear you. They want to obey you. They want to go out and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. They want to live by faith. You know that, God. You can see their hearts. You know what's true. You know what's not. I can only hear what they say with their mouth. But you, Lord, you see the heart. You see the spirit. You hear the truth. So we ask you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in Jesus' name, I ask you to stretch forth your hand. Touch them, God. Each one, God. Each one that wants to hear from you. Each one, God. Each one, God, that wants to go back to Calvary. Each one, God, that wants to tell the world about Calvary, about Jesus. Touch each one of them tonight, Lord. God, and somehow let me know. Have them send me a letter, an email, anything. Just let me know that they heard something. And Father, in everything, we will give you all of the praise and the glory and the honor. For truly, thou art worthy to be praised, O Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the alarm call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.